Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, please. Isaiah chapter 1. I would like to read just four verses to you, the first four verses of this great book and of this first chapter. And I want to speak to you this morning on a little phrase that is found in the second verse. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." So there, under the reign or during the reign of four different kings, Isaiah was a prophet for God. And what we read here is that God gave Isaiah a vision. Now please understand what that means. That means that what is found in the book of Isaiah is not Isaiah's doings, it's God's doings. All right? This is a vision that was given to him by God over several years, under these four kings as they ruled in Judah. All right, so the vision of Isaiah. Please remember that. Then look at verse 2. Isaiah says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken." Now that's the phrase that I'm going to develop my message around this morning. I'm going to entitle the sermon this morning, "The Lord Hath Spoken." You'll notice that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And when you see that in the Bible, that means Jehovah God, the God of redemption, the God of the covenant. All right, so the Lord hath spoken. "I have nourished and brought up children," and God says, "they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." Now, using these four verses, and especially verse 2, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, "God hath spoken." Now, folks, listen, I want you to think about something. This is either God's word or it's not. It is either God's word or it is not. Now, I just happen to believe that it is. And I don't back down from that. I don't shy from that. I just happen to believe that this Bible is God's word and that it is the final authority. God gave us a book. And in this book, he has outlined for us his plan. He has given us his way, if you will. And there is not an alternative. It either is God's word or it is not God's word. Now, I'm going to preach to you this morning on the premise that this is God's word. So I want you to be prepared for that, and I want you to be ready for that, because that's how I'm going to present my message this morning. God hath spoken. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for giving us the word of God. And Lord, we would not know you, and we would not know forgiveness of sin. We would not know that we have a home in heaven Lord, we would not know that there is a battle and a struggle between good and evil. We would not know any of this if it were not for the Bible. And yet, Lord, you have revealed yourself to us through the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless and help us this morning. And Lord, help us to see this conflict. Help us to see, Lord, the importance of standing for what we believe and standing upon the eternal truths of your Word. And Lord, I find it amazing that when you turn to the back of the book and men are standing at the judgment, that they are standing before an open Bible. And Lord, you said clearly, heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will never pass away. And so, Father, help us to realize that your book is indeed the final authority for faith and for practice. So, Lord, bless now. Fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I read for you this morning are the opening words that Isaiah uses to begin this great book of prophecy. Most of the time, and I have read Isaiah I don't know how many times in the last year in preparation for our Wednesday night Bible studies, and most of the time I will fly through the first chapter in order to get to the good stuff that is the prophecies of this book. But I sat down earlier in the week and began reading it again, and that little phrase jumped out at me in verse 2 where it says, "For the Lord hath spoken." And I want to use that little phrase and develop the message around the book. I want you to notice that in this first chapter, and especially in the first four verses, Isaiah is telling us why he is writing this book. Why speak the words of this prophecy? Why go there? Why write them down and put them in a book and give them to the world? Well, basically, he's doing this because of God's people. He's doing this for the people of Judah and for the people that lived during the reign of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, who, because of their rebellion against God, were in serious trouble with their God. You see, he wrote this book to them because for years things had been going wrong, and it did not look like there was going to be any improvement anytime soon. And Isaiah received this message from God. God sent the message to him so that he could send the message to the people to let them know that because they had rebelled against him and because they had turned their backs on him and had followed the gods of Baal and rejected the truth of God's word, that God was going to judge them, that God was going to bring judgment upon the nation. Now, because of where they were spiritually and in their daily relationship with God, it was imperative that somebody, that God send somebody with a message to expose their condition and to tell them what God demanded. And what God demanded was that the people repent and come back to him, stop their rebellion, and make their way back to a right relationship with God. Now, there is really only one great message with the 66 chapters of this amazing prophecy. And here in the first chapter, we get Isaiah's summation of that message. It is, you better evaluate your walk with God, and you better get your heart right with God, or judgment's coming. Now, it's just that simple. And the question that the people needed to ask themselves was, is this real? Is this God's message? Is this relevant? Well, folks, I'm telling you, we need to ask ourselves that question too. Is this book God's book? Now, again, I think it is. I really do, with all my heart. If I did not believe this, then I would never get back in this pulpit and preach again. But I just happen to believe that this is the Word of God. And we need to operate in that light. But there's really only just one message that's in this book. Now, granted, God uses Isaiah to go at it from several different directions, but there's really just one message, and it's summarized here in the first four verses. Usually when you deliver a message to people, you begin by telling them a summary of what you're going to tell them. You start out your message by saying, I'm going to tell you this, and then you tell them, and then you wrap it up by saying, now here's what I just told you. Now really, that's good homiletics. That's what you want to do in every message. And if you were to come up here this morning and look at my notes, you'll see that I have an introduction, and then I have two main points that I'm going to tell you what Isaiah says here, and then I have a conclusion. And in the conclusion, I basically do what Isaiah's doing. I tell you what I've told you. All right? So that way, when you leave here, you got three shots at getting what I've said. And that's what Isaiah is basically doing in these first four verses. Now, what he does is he shows them the cause of their troubles. He shows them the false ways in which the people were trying to deal with their problems and how they were trying to get out of their problems, and then announces the true and only way of real deliverance. And that is essentially the picture of the first chapter of Isaiah. But there's something else before I get to the message that I want you to consider. Now, here is Isaiah. All right, now picture, you got this nation, Judah, you got this city, Jerusalem, and they are in open rebellion to God. They have abandoned God, and they are following the ways of Baal, a false religion, a false doctrine, a false God. They are following this religion that with every day, it gets them further and further away from God. Now, in the midst of all that, here comes Isaiah, and he claims to be God's spokesman. The question is he God's spokesman? That's the question. They've all got to answer that question. Is this man legitimate? Is what he is saying truth? And so, get the picture. Here is this man coming along with a message he says is from God. Now, what you've got to understand, and I want you to think of everything I'm going to say from here out in the light of this little fact that goes along with the story. While one man, Isaiah, says that he has God's message, you need to realize that there were a whole host of people who also claimed to have God's message. The Bible calls them false prophets. They are throughout the Old Testament, but not only that, they are throughout the New Testament. It's amazing. The Lord Jesus said that, especially in the last days, that false prophets would arise. Paul said, in the last days, false prophets would arise. Peter said, in the last days, that there would be false prophets going everywhere. Peter said there would be scoffers who would say, where's the promise of his coming? Why, God's not coming. Christ is not coming back. Why, God's asleep somewhere in heaven, or maybe he's on a trip. He's on a vacation somewhere, and he's not paying attention to what's going on. And your God's not going to do anything. And so we have been warned about false prophets. They were all through the Old Testament. They're all through the New Testament. And you got to realize that while one man, Isaiah, stands up and says to the people, wait a minute, folks, I got a vision from God. Here is God's message for you. You need to understand that while Isaiah was claiming to have a message from God, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other men who were standing up and saying that they also had a message and that the people were to listen to their message. So there were multitudes of them. But there was a marked difference between the false prophets and the true prophet Isaiah. There were many, many differences between them. For example, you go back and check your Bible. Whenever there was a true prophet of God who was standing, there were always the false prophets who were standing against him. And you check the record. There were always more false prophets than there were true prophets. Every time. Case in point, look at Elijah up on Mount Carmel. Elijah goes up on top of the mountain and he is God's lone voice. He is God's lone representative. And the Bible says that when they got up there for the showdown, that there were 450 prophets of Baal. And then there was another 400, so that makes 850 false prophets. The 400 were prophets from the groves or from the female aspect of Baal, which was Ashtaroth. And there were 400 of them, and they were on Jezebel's payroll. She paid them. They ate at Jezebel's table. Now, that doesn't mean that in the palace of Ahab there was a table that would seat 800 or 400 people. That's not what that means. What it means is that she paid them in food. She took care of them. No doubt she provided housing. No doubt she provided an income. And no doubt she provided food for them. They sustained themselves at Jezebel's table. So there were 850 on that mountain, and yet one man representing God. One man. And folks, multitudes, but always only one true prophet of God. It's always amazing how the false prophets always outnumber the true prophet of God by a huge margin. Now, what was his message? Well, his message was, you guys are false prophets and God is true. You guys are false and God is true. And these false prophets were always there. Always there. And there were always more of them than there were of the true. And the same thing is true today. Folks, listen, we've got a world today that is filled with people doing work in the name of the Lord, and they are giving a false gospel. They are giving a false teaching of what the Bible says. There are people today, multitudes of preachers, that are preaching this feel-good gospel. That's where you come in and they pat you on the back and tell you how good you are and tell you that you can make it and you can be successful, and they give you principles for living in the world and adapting to the world. And you may feel good about that for a little while, but it does not change the heart. That kind of gospel does not change the heart. There are those that preach a works for salvation gospel, where you need to earn it, where you've got to do something. And that's not in the Bible. There are those that have this watered down emotionalism, and the gospel is taken out, and it's just all based and built around emotions and feeling good about yourself. And there's a host of other gospels that are giving men the wrong information about the gospel of Christ. Now, what we need to ask ourselves this morning is what I saw in verse 2. And this is really the crux of the whole matter. For the Lord hath spoken. Has God spoken? Do we have God's word? I have in my hand right now a Bible, the word of the living God. And this book is God's word, and it is God's message for mankind. Isaiah said, hear, for the Lord hath spoken. And I want to speak to you this morning on the relevance of the Word of God. Folks, I want to speak to you this morning with by making the point, that, by asking a question, is the Bible relevant for today? Can we trust our Bible? Is the Bible relevant in 2011? You know, the world would tell you it's not. The world would tell you that the Bible is outdated and it's old-fashioned and that it can't be trusted. Why, after all, there are over 450 different types of Bibles in the world today. So therefore, you can't trust the Bible. It's had its day. And now, instead of listening to God, what we need to do, they say, what we need to do is listen to the words of men. Folks, you need to realize that all this has been a long time coming. It all started back years ago when they took God out of the churches and took God out of the schools and took God out of the Bible substituted God with our own understanding and with our own teaching and with our own philosophy. It's called humanism, and it is prevalent everywhere you look today. And so the result now is they can stand up and say that the Bible is not relevant anymore. Well, folks, I serve notice on you, it is relevant. And we're living in a world that's going to find out the relevance of the Bible very soon. Now, there are a couple things I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice the relevance of Isaiah's message. The relevance of Isaiah's message. As I go through this now, keep in mind the spiritual condition upon which Isaiah spoke this message that he received from God to the people of Judah. Remember that Judah was in great trouble with God. Judah was now getting God's warning to them. The point is, folks, God's word, listen carefully to this, God's word is always a warning to those in trouble with God. The Bible is always a warning to those in trouble with God. Now, I know that there are those who would try to argue and say, well, the book of Isaiah, man, that was written 2,700 years ago. How's that relevant to today? There are people that will say, well, Isaiah wrote this to the Jews, and we're not Jews. So why is the Bible and the book of Isaiah relevant for today? Well, let me tell you. It's relevant because the Bible, whether it's Isaiah or Genesis or Revelation, the Bible deals with men and women and how they can be rightly related to God and shows us that way. The way to be rightly related to God, whether you're Old Testament or New Testament, has always been the same for all people. You see, it's not a Jew-Gentile thing. It's not a black-white thing. It's not a man-woman thing. No, we are all created in the image of God. We may all look a little different, and our skin may be a little different, or our hair may be a little different, or our accent may be a little different, or our language may be a little different, but deep down inside, we all bear the image of God. And whether you're Old Testament or New Testament, the way to be rightly related to God has always been the same for all men. And that way is revealed right here in the Bible. You see, that has never changed. And it never will change. If you sit and read the Bible and you're reading about some ancient people that lived 4,000 years ago, do not feel that you are dealing with ancient Bible history, but modern contemporary history. For men of old have the same issues as men today have. And the issue that's the same is sin. Sin was Judah's problem, and mark it down, sin is our problem. And there is no other book that tells us how to deal with sin. You can go to the library and check out an encyclopedia and look up sin, and you're not going to find anything about how to deal with sin. You can look it up in the dictionary. You're not going to find it. But you can go to the Bible and find out that sin must be paid for by the shedding of blood. And you can keep reading and you can realize that that's why God sent His only begotten Son into this world, so that Jesus would shed His blood to make atonement for our sins. And that's what the world needs to hear today. That's the voice that needs to be heard. That's the song that needs to be sung. But that's not what's being sung today, is it? You see, you got all these messages that are being broadcasted, and you got all this information that is coming to us, and it's all telling you that the Bible is wrong and man's way is the right way. Today, we have voices telling us that government is the answer to all of man's problems. We're being told today that what we need to do is sit down with those that hate us and reason with them and work out our problems and live together in harmony. We need to reason with our enemies. Folks, look at verse 18 real quick. God says, come now, let us, what's the next word? Reason together. Who's speaking here? God is speaking here. God says, hey, man, why don't you come and reason with me? Why don't you come and talk to me? Come to find out what I have to say about this. Isaiah tells us that we need to sit down with God and reason with Him. And this points out that the real problem is a sin problem. So folks, the Bible is as relevant today as it was 2,700 years ago when Isaiah wrote and was delivered God's word. Yet there are various theories that are being offered to people today. You know, I find it amazing in Isaiah and also in Jeremiah how both of these prophets spoke of how the people didn't think God's word was relevant to them at all. You read Isaiah, you read Jeremiah, and you'll notice in both books, they both pointed out that things were spiraling out of control. They both point out that the nation was on the brink of judgment because of what they had done to God. You read in both books that the enemies were gathering at the border of the nation. And yet the people were not even remotely interested in heeding the call of God to repent of their sin. Instead, they were listening, and Isaiah points it out, and Jeremiah points it out, they were listening instead to the message of the false prophets. And what were the false prophets saying? Well, they were saying to them the same thing the false prophets are saying to us today. What they were saying to them is, hey, listen, everything's fine. We're in control here, and everything's fine. Just keep going on. There's nothing to see here, folks. Just keep going. Nothing to see here. Just move along. Everything's just fine. They were telling the people that there was no problem. The enemies were gathering on the borders. And yet the false prophets were standing up to the people and saying to them, oh no, it's cool. There's peace in the land. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, Jeremiah says that these false prophets were liars. And he said they were saying there's peace when there was no peace in the land. And folks, listen, you got a government today. You've got a world today. You've got the press today. You've got Hollywood today telling you that everything is all right. Well, listen, I got news for you. No, it's not. It's not all right. Our world today is listening to the wrong prophets. They're listening to people that are telling them the wrong message. And our world today is listening to the same nonsense from the pulpit today. They're listening to the same nonsense. You know, the average pulpit in America today denies that this book is the Word of God. And they've criticized in the last 50, 60 years. Folks, you go back 60 years ago, and it didn't matter what the denominational tag was. A man got up and preached the Bible. Not today. What's wrong with us? Well, we've swallowed the message of the false prophets. That's what's wrong with us. And the average Bible college today, all they do is criticize and mutilate and chop up the Bible. You send your students there to study for the ministry, and they come out denying that the Bible is inspired of God. What's wrong with us? I'm almost to the place where I'm afraid to take a young person and recommend that he go to Bible college anywhere. Because they come home and you don't know who they are. You can't even identify them anymore. It's sad. We need to ask ourselves as we look around us and as we watch our world crumbling, and we see on the news where thousands are slaughtered every day around the globe in the name of some God, where we see wars being fought on every hand and people starving and the world in despair. What is the problem? What is wrong with our world? Why is what we are doing failing everywhere? Why is the world on fire? Obama and Putin and the United Nations and all the rest of our world's leaders, they've all been advising and they've been offering opinions and they've been telling us what we should do and what we should believe. What is the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is, folks. We're listening to the wrong prophets. We're listening to the wrong message. We've got a God here that says, wait a minute, I created you. I made you. And God told Judah, listen, you've turned your back on me and judgment is coming unless you repent. And that message is the same message for today. God will not be mocked. What a man sows, that will he also reap. Where's the word of God today? Well, we're not listening to that. We're not listening to that. We're told that's a bunch of make-believe stories. We're not listening to God today. We're told this is outdated. Don't need this book anymore. I mean, we desperately need to ask ourselves, is the Bible relevant for today? And brethren, my point is, I say it is. And instead of listening to all the false prophets, we need to stop and listen to what God has to say. There's a second thing that Isaiah deals with here. And secondly, I want you to notice what he tells the people. I want to look at his argument, if you will. Let's just call it his argument. Look at his argument. There are many things he says here. Let me point out just two. First of all, he tells us the reason why we should listen to his message. There are many people who are saying, well, I don't need to listen to the Bible. Why do I need to listen to the Bible? Why do I need to care what God says? Why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to listen to preaching? Why? I've got the news on TV and I've got the internet and I've got plenty of books to read and plenty of voices to hear how to solve the problems that we face in the world today. Why do I need to listen to the Bible or to God? Well, look at Isaiah's reasoning as he explains why we should pay attention. Right off the bat, would you look please at verse 1? Right off the bat, I mean at the very beginning of the message, Isaiah says, the vision. Now that's why we need to listen. The vision. You see, what Isaiah is saying here is that this is his authority. What right did he have to address the issue and record his message? At the very start, he tells them why they should listen to him. And the reason they should listen is because his words are not his own. They were given to him from God. He was not giving expression to his own thoughts or stating his own opinions and theories. Really, the first two words of the book tell us all we need to know about his authority. This was a vision. In other words, what he is writing and saying was not of his own device. It was a vision from God, a prophetic message from God that he was delivering. The words in this book were not the result of Isaiah snooping around and digging around and investigating the people and then giving his findings. There was no royal commission established by King Uzziah where Isaiah was asked to go and put a focus group together and figure out what was the best way to proceed. No, sir. God intervened here and gave him a vision and told him what the message was. And folks, this is basically the man of God declaring to the whole nation, I am God's spokesman. I am God's prophet. It is Isaiah saying that here is God's message. He boldly says in verse 2, for the Lord hath spoken. He tells them, this is not my message. This is God's message. I am nothing more than God's mouthpiece. And brethren, men need to read the word of God and realize that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is relevant for today. It is relevant. Secondly, he tells us that we should listen because God has a specific message. You see, he not only has God's word from God himself, but he has God's message. This is God's message. And what is it that Isaiah has to tell? Well, look at verse 2. Look at this. I like this. This is so neat. I've read this umpteen times, never had seen it this way, but look at this. Look at verse 2. He said, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Now, you'll notice that's not capital H. It's heavens, small h, and it's plural. He's not talking about the dwelling place, heaven. He's not talking about our eternal home, heaven. He's talking about outer space. He's talking about the stars and the planets and the comets and the asteroids and the galaxies. That's what he's talking about. And look at how he phrases it. He said, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Isaiah is calling upon all of the heavens and the earth to listen to the word of God. Listen to what God has to say. He is not talking to the saints and to the angels that are in heaven, the place, but he is addressing the stars and the planets. They were created by God, by the way. He is addressing in verse 3, look at that. He is addressing the ox and the ass, and he uses them by way of contrast to make his point. So what is his point? Well, basically, here it is. Basically, he says to the stars and to the planets and to the animals that are in the field, are you not at all amazed at men and women and at what they have become? Are you not amazed at what men and women have become? You wild animals are behaving the way you were meant to behave. You're doing what you were created to do. He says to the heavens, to the stars, and to the planets, he says, you guys are doing what you're supposed to do. You're not rebelling. The animals aren't rebelling against their creator. Funny though, man is. He said, really, the ox, the dumbest of the animals, and the ass, the most stubborn of the animals, they're doing what they're supposed to do. But men who have the capacity to reason and to think, they are saying, oh no, I don't need God. I don't need the Bible. I'm listening to this voice over here from the White House. I'm listening to this voice from the Senate. I'm listening to this voice from Congress. Oh no, I'm listening to this voice from the New York Times. And they're telling me, hey, everything's okay. Don't panic. But what about the Bible? Oh, the Bible, that's not relevant. You don't need the Bible. I mean, they even ran a show Friday night that said, I'm a cult leader. Did you see that? I'm a cult leader. And hey, don't laugh. You are cultists. Mercy, what's wrong with us? Our world what's right has become wrong and what's wrong has become right. You know, for 2,000 years now, there have been people that have believed this Bible to be the Word of God. And now, all of a sudden, in 2011, if you believe this Bible is the Word of God, you're crazy. You're dangerous. Oh, we better investigate you. We better investigate you. Mercy. What is wrong with our world? The animals are doing what they were created to do. Stars are doing what they... Isn't it neat? Every morning the sun comes up. Every night it sets. Isn't that amazing? All this stuff out there in space, they send a Hubble up and send all the Voyager up and they take all these pictures and there's all this stuff out there flying around and all these asteroids and comets and planets and solar systems integrating over top of one another, and yet it just all works. I wonder why. I'll tell you why. Because creation has enough sense to do what God created it to do. And then you got poor old man down here saying, we don't need God. Yes, you do need God, my friend. You say, I'm doing pretty good on my own. Well, how are you going to do when you stand before the Lord? Well, I'm just going to take my chances. Good luck with that. Man rebelling against his creator. What an indictment against us. The moon, the stars, the planets, the earth, even the ox and the donkey all do what they were created to do. Only man refuses to do what he was created to do. You say, well, what was I created to do? To honor and glorify God in your life. Man is rebellious, verse 2. Sinful, verse 4. Laden with iniquity, verse 4. The seed of evildoers, verse 4. And this all leads to a call from God through Isaiah to the world, repent. Repent. God said to Isaiah, if Judah doesn't repent, judgment will come. And Judah didn't repent, and you know what happened? Judgment came. It's time we get back to listening to the Word of God, for God has spoken. Now, folks, here's the good news. God in old times has spoken through the prophets. You say, that's Old Testament. What about New Testament? All right, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll close. Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in what? Time what? Past. What is that? That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the who? All right, that's Isaiah and Jeremiah and Elijah and all the rest of the prophets. You say, okay, well, that's Old Testament. Good. Look at the next verse. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Yeah, the Bible's not relevant. Excuse me, God here says it is. And his Son is the authority. God says it is relevant. God in old days has spoken through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken unto us through his Son. You see, God did not only raise up men to speak for him as prophets, but God took it another step and sent his Son from heaven so we'd listen. Question is, are we listening to his message? And the answer is, all you got to do is look around the world and you have to say we're not. Folks, listen. this afternoon sometime when you get home and it's quiet, I want you just to sit and listen for a minute. And you'll hear the heavens and the earth. You'll hear the birds. You know everything, every sound of nature is in the minor key. Every sound of nature is in the minor key. There's sadness, the wail, the wailing. How long, Lord, how long? The whole earth groaneth and travaileth until now. When you hear the wind blowing at night, it is an eerie sound. When you see the lightning flash and you hear the thunder, it's a crashing, terrible, horrible sound. Frightening. Sad. Listen this afternoon. Would you just go home and listen? And as you sit there, can you not hear nature itself whispering in your ear and saying, wow, I can't believe this. You have God's word and yet you don't read it. You have God's word and yet you don't believe it. We do what we're created to do. But you men, I don't understand you. Could you imagine if the sun just said, I'm not going to raise today. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if the moon just made up its mind and said, I'm going to go over here and hang around Venus for a little while. No, God put it out there for a reason. And God put us here for a reason. And brethren, let's not neglect the reason for which God put us here. Let's serve Him with a glad heart.